on all these camps, the coaches always give their little recruiting talk. But he gave the best recruiting talk I've ever heard, and that really stuck with me. And his main points were that you have to treat your college recruitment like a relationship. You're going to love a school, but if they don't love you back, it's not a good fit.
You're listening to the Real Recruiting Story podcast, where current college baseball players reflect on the recruiting process. Every player has a personal story that hasn't been shared until now. The quest to get committed by a college doesn't have to be a difficult journey. Mark Wright has coached dozens of high school baseball players, helping literally hundreds of showcase players navigate the next chapter of their careers. And now, here's your host, Mark Wright.
Carlos Irizarry is a D3 standout at Penn State Harrisburg. He was a United East Rookie of the Year and also United East All-Conference First Team member as a freshman. He batted 364 during his inaugural year with 48 hits, including 8 doubles, a triple, and 6 home runs. This recruiting story is perhaps a best exemplar of right fit. He announced his presence with authority his freshman year and is a household name around his campus. Welcome to the show, Carlos Irizarry.
Carlos Irizarry. What's up, Los? Sorry, buddy.
How you doing? I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm pumped to talk to you. One, because it certainly seems like, from the outside looking in, you were the prom king at your school. I mean, you crushed it. I think you hit well over 300 your freshman year. Like I said in the intro, you had a bunch of doubles, home runs. Think you're an everyday guy. I mean, you played in at least 40 games. So, I mean, it'll be eager to get your impression on that. And then you're unique. And I always say kids in this area, when I say this area, I'm talking our state. It's hard to stay in the infield when you go to college. And if my notes are right, I think not only did you stay in the infield and play shortstop, pretty sure you did that in the summer. So at any rate, let's talk about your summer. We're going to skip past your recruiting process real quick. What did you do this summer? Were you playing baseball?
Yeah. A lot of baseball. Every single day. I started off playing in a league up in Maryland, MCBO, which had a blast there for a few games, very good league. But then I ended up getting a call to go down and play in the Valley Baseball League with the Newmarket Rebels. I have two teammates from Harrisburg that play there, and they had a couple shortstops go down, so they needed a guy, and they called my college coach, and he called me, and I went down there. And that was awesome. I mean, you play 6 days a week there. Every game's either at 7 or 7:30 at night, so you're on a consistent schedule. I mean, it was a blast. I mean, you feel like you're a big leader down there. There's a really good community, all the kids asking you for autographs. We'd go do community service, like reading books to the kids at libraries, and it was a blast. Really good competition there, facing a lot of Power 5 guys, which I felt like as a D3 guy was really cool because I saw some guys that, you know, I'm never going to see Division 3, but it was a blast, a great experience, and I'd be happy to do it again if I get the opportunity.
Now, how does that even happen? So for people that are on here, I mean, you're in school, you were excited at some point to get recruited, you're excited to go to college, you're excited to find out you're going to play in college. When do you find out you're going to play summer baseball, and how does it even happen?
Yeah, so that was actually like a big eye-opener for me. It starts really, really early. I mean, the summer league for college, that gets figured out in the fall. Coaches are reaching out. I've already had a couple of coaches for next summer already reach out. I mean, it's super, super early, which is something you don't see. And as a freshman, it's difficult. It's really difficult to sort of get into the good leagues that you want to get into just because you have no college stats. But I think summer baseball for college is all connections. You know the right people. Your college coaches help a lot because obviously everything goes through them. But yeah, it's connections, having people that will help you out and just making sure you get on it early because people are going to reach out early and just stay with it.
Were you an everyday shortstop in the summer and college?
Yeah, in the summer I played every game at short, and in college I started off my freshman year a couple games at second, couple at third, then I became everyday shortstop for the rest of the season.
If I'm honest, I think it's, number one, it's impressive that you played all the time and played so much short. I think it's crazier that you homesteaded at short in the summer. Man, usually the guys I talk to, it sounds like it's more showcase baseball where they have to rotate you guys a little bit and you end up playing a little bit of third, a little second. But bottom line, I think it just speaks to what we all knew when you were young, whether it's freshman or sophomore, you could tell you were a legit defender. So that's great. It stuck with you. Obviously, you've obviously just even improved. But let's talk about the juice, dude. How many home runs did you hit?
I had 6 home runs.
How many doubles?
Doubles, I'm not sure. I probably had 10.
Born in Iraq, it looks like between doubles and triples, you had double digits. So where did that come from? I mean, you always were a scrappy player. You certainly didn't spray the ball. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But home runs, doubles, you never put up numbers like that as a senior, let alone a junior in high school, right?
Yeah, it's funny. I get my college coach, Coach Bound. He asked me that midway through the season. I was at like 5 home runs or 4 home runs, something like that. And he was like, how many home runs did you hit in high school? I was like, none. He was like, how about travel ball? I was like, none. He was like, what happened? And people ask me all the time. I tell people, I say, I've always been a strong guy. I'm a smaller build, but I'm compact build and I've had strength. But it's been my swing where I've had pop, but I didn't know how to use it. I was always a big just step and hit guy. And I didn't know how to use my body, didn't know how to use my strength. I get to college, talk to my hitting coach a lot. One of my teammates, a senior, Maddox Ryan, who's actually now going to be my assistant coach at school, he helped me a lot with just understanding how to get into my legs. That was the biggest thing.
Like how? Let's sit on this. This is good. So you are a great hitter. I already just gave you a lot of remarks for being a legit defender. You get to college. Your coach, you admit it helped you, but then you're talking about you have a player, which I think is good for everyone too. Sometimes, I mean, you guys are your best coaches yourselves, but your buddies like this. So I love hearing this. What specifically did they tell you to use your legs? Because clearly somebody, including myself, I mean, people must have told you that throughout high school. So what clicked for you?
It was just doing it once and actually seeing the result of the ball just fly. It was one day in BP where Maddox, my teammate, he was just like, try sitting in that back hip a little more and coiling that front side.
You remember the cues, sit in your back hip, which just a caution for everyone. Obviously, different cues for different people. Not all swings are the same. But for you, even if you maybe were told that before, maybe at a different point in your life, you weren't ready to digest that verbal cue. Maybe the physiology of your body was different when you were told that. But you were told that in your freshman year, light bulb goes off and you're just launching balls.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, correct. And like you said, that's something that I was told a lot in my career. And I think part of what it was when I was younger is that I felt like I was sacrificing my timing and being on time to hit the ball by getting into that back hip. Because I think when I was younger, I didn't know as well. I thought that getting into your legs and sitting into that back hip immediately meant having a big leg kick, which I never wanted as a hitter and which I don't have because I'm a guy who likes to stay simple. And I think, I guess, just getting older and seeing more baseball, seeing my teammates, that made me understand that you don't have to have a huge leg kick to get into your back hip. And that's just how it clicked for me.
I love that. I love it. Now let's pause for a super quick message from our sponsor, Powertrain Sports Institute. Strength training is a big factor for on-field success. Nick Fike from Battlefield High School went D1 and got drafted. Savino from Potomac Falls was a Power 5 guy who got drafted. And Williamson from Freedom High School was recently drafted. And Casey Cook is one of the better hitters in the ACC. And each athlete benefited from individualized performance assessments and personalized training regimens. Powertrain strength coaches have a reputation around the world for enhancing performance levels of professional athletes, let alone college and high school. They utilize the most advanced methodologies to turn athletes into incredibly performing machines. There's nearly 20 gyms in 4 states. You too can finally edge out the competition by putting Powertrain on your side. Go to www.powertrainsports.com.
So it's by all accounts, you killed it this year. Like I said, from the outside looking in, you made a great decision on your school choice. People talk about the word fit all the time, and it's kind of this ambiguous, esoteric topic. I mean, there's so many layers to it. It encompasses a lot of stuff. It speaks to just your happiness at the school. Fit speaks to your playing time at school. It talks to obviously a lot with baseball, but you got to consider the college. I mean, from the outside looking in, you look like you are batting 1,000 from picking a good fit. Is school is going as good as it looks like from the outside looking in? How did you end up there?
Yeah. Like you said, the fit was a big thing that not only myself, but my family and I really considered looking in. I'll tell you a little story. I was at a college camp, which is where Harrisburg saw me. It was one of the assistant coaches of Harrisburg was there, and also a guy who coached at the school of the camp, who is now an assistant coach at Harrisburg, was there too, who let Coach Bound know, my Harrisburg coach. And he gave, on all these camps, the coaches always give their little recruiting talk.
But he gave the best recruiting talk I've ever heard, and that really stuck with me. And his main points were that you have to treat your college recruitment like a relationship. You're going to love a school, but if they don't love you back, it's not a good fit. And I really took that to heart, because at that point, I was talking to a good amount of schools.
That's a great clarifier for everyone. Yeah. You weren't at a loss for being recruited. You were talking. It got mind numbing trying to keep up with all the schools. That's good.
But yeah, it was just, it was that. It was where there were some schools where I felt like I loved them, and I just didn't get that same quote unquote affection back. But then with Harrisburg, I remember it was, I was at Burns Ridge hitting with my dad one day, and I get a call from Coach Bowne. And I didn't answer it at first. I was like, I was in the middle of a round. But then I go to my phone and I see a text message of all this recruiting stuff saying, oh, assistant coach saw me at a camp. Here are your dates for your visit. And I was sort of caught off guard. I was like, I haven't talked to this guy once. And it seems to me like he already offered me. So that I called him back and he was like, yeah, we really, really like you. I've heard even great things as a person about you. And I'd love to get you on campus to show you around and talk to you more in person about the program. I was like, okay, so talked to my parents about it, picked the date for the visit. And the second I got there, I felt that whole love back sort of affection thing where I really felt like I was wanted there.
Clearly, you read that message, right?
Yep.
Dude, I mean, you're the poster child.
Yeah.
Certainly, at least as an underclassman, the poster child. I get it. You had some upperclassmen that are dudes too.
Yeah. I tell people it was the second I stepped on campus and was talking to Coach Bowne, and I felt like I knew that was the one. And it was weird because I remember like the next week after that visit, I already had a camp scheduled with a school that they were like really close to offering me. But I was like, no, I ended up going to the camp and I played well, but I felt that Harrisburg was the right fit with him. I love his philosophy. He's a really intense guy, but I love it because he wants to win, and that lets the team know that we want to win as well. And my teammates are amazing. That was one thing I was a little nervous about going in. They were, especially the upperclassmen, there's some big name guys there that have had good careers. And I was just like, oh, I hope they're not mean to me. And they help out. And that was just, it was none of that. Everyone's super helpful. And it was just, it's a true brotherhood, which I think helped us have the success that we had. It was that our team chemistry was out the roof. We did everything together. We trained together, hung out together. It was everything. And great fit. And it's amazing so far.
So you obviously mentioned camp a couple times. Let's talk about your actual recruiting process. Let's talk about emails to coaches and camps. If you had a guess, number one, did you ever send emails? If so, how many did you send? And then camps, same thing. You obviously alluded, so you went to camps. How many did you go to? Why don't we talk through how you contact schools and camps a little bit for you?
Yeah, so emails, that was a huge thing for me. It was probably towards the end of my sophomore year. So before they could respond back to me, I was already just sending out emails because I really just wanted to get my name out there. So I sent out a lot of emails. And then I remember it was 2 weeks before that deadline, my junior year, where colleges could text me back. I sent out a whole other strand of emails. I had a little script I wrote out, personalized it for each school, because you don't want to make it sound like you're sending it to everybody. To be honest, I was. But I would personalize things about the school, let them know, like, if they had a certain major that I was interested in, I would let them know, oh, that's something I could maybe want to study. I would send them film, and then I would send them my fall schedule and all of my coaches' contact information. And then when that deadline hit where they could respond back, I felt like sending all the emails helped me because I was already getting emails back from a good amount of schools. Obviously, some of them were the basic, come to our camp, but some of them were like, oh, you know, we're going to come watch you at so-and-so tournament. So that was a big thing, which I think helped me, just getting my name out there. And then in camps, I went to a good amount of camps, a mix of the PBR showcases, which I think were great because they do a good part with getting you out on social media and Twitter, which nowadays is huge for recruiting. And then I went to a good amount of school camps. I would say probably 5 or 6, but I would try to go. My dad and I were big on picking out those camps. We would try to go to the ones where it was a main school camp, but there were also a lot of other schools at. Just so that you just didn't have one school there looking at you. But
yeah,
camps and emails were big for me, I think.
Well, and for a guy who's in college, like I said, I would never tell anyone how many camps you need to go to, but I would say it'd be very hard for him to rebuke. If you went to 5 or 6, probably the perfect amount. Anyone who only goes to 1 or 2, God bless, and that's great. But then he gets a little overzealous, I think. If you wonder if the juice is worth the squeeze for the guys that end up going to 20 different camps. And then your emails, you said something that's super important because the devil's in the details. On the other side, I talk to college coaches who just can't believe it when someone sends the wrong name to a school or they mention the wrong mascot. And they get it. Of course, it's a generic message, but if you don't at least dedicate whatever it took you, 3 minutes or 7 minutes, to somehow personalize the difference, it really detracts from it. I mean, at the same time, when they're recruiting guys, they're saying the same pitch, so they're crabbing, trying to find a bucket full of crabs and picking the best one, just like you're trying to find the best coach in school. So there's nothing wrong with that generic message, but like you said, you took that time to personalize it. So really good for you. That's awesome. Let's talk about a day in the life, man. What's a day in the life of fall baseball compared to spring?
So the fall is a lot of fun, at least at Harrisburg. We have our little fall World Series where throughout our fall season, we'll play a certain number of inner squads, and then at the end, we scrimmage a doubleheader against another school. But yeah, in the fall, we lift 2 times a week in the fall, always in the morning. We have 3 different lifting groups in the morning, so we get them done before classes. And then we have, so on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we have a common hour where between 11 and 1 o'clock, nobody in the entire school has classes. So on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we'll always practice the whole team from 11 to 1. But then Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we have what we like to call group times, where depending on when your classes are, you'll practice at a certain time. If you don't have class after 2 o'clock, you'll just practice with a certain group of guys from like 4 to 6. And then after that, it just is whenever you want to go out and get your own work in. We have guys that will stay after their group times to hit, or they'll go before. It just really depends on your entire class schedule. But we do a really good job of working our baseball around that so that we have time to get both in to the max.
Spring, what's the difference as far as how many hours a week are you doing baseball in the fall compared to how many hours a week in the spring?
Yes, spring's a lot different just because it's a straight grind at that point. In the spring, we don't lift as a team, but we lift on our own whenever we can. But then spring, we're practicing 2 to 3 times a day, every single day. We'll get the occasional off day on a Monday if we have a long series on the weekend. It's a lot longer to spring because at D3, we have practice limitations in the fall, so we only have, I don't know the exact number, but we only have a certain number of weeks where we can practice. Where in the spring, you go out whenever you can, and it's just all the time, practicing, practicing, practicing.
Are you doing anything different than you did in high school? Is there anything otherwise different? You do infield training, different weight room, or is it just more the frequencies different?
I think there's a little difference in certain drills I've picked up along the way over the winter before or the spring. I forgot to mention this, who was also a big help, Kevin LeChance. He was also a big part, which helped me hitting-wise the first time I hit with him. He has a little program that he wrote out for me in the winter that I'll use that hitting-wise, which I never used in high school. But I think one of the big things is that I didn't do in high school is I'm stretching a lot more. The amount of times we play, it's just, that is huge just to stay healthy. Eating-wise and lifting-wise, I was always good at that with high school, same as my sleep. That's something that I feel like I've always been very good at, which is taking care of my body, except for the stretching side of it, because I was always a tight person. I wasn't very mobile, which now I feel like I'm getting better at that. Yeah, defensively, I think it's just repetitions.
Really good shout outs, one to LeChance and one to yourself for stretching. So good for you with that. That's good. I like that a lot. So now that you're on the other side, man, what advice would you give somebody that's trying to figure out how to get recruited by a college? Someone that wants to be hitting with their dad at a field and get a call from a college. What's the best advice you got for somebody?
I think one of the biggest things is staying patient. I really believe that if you really want to play in college and you really work hard at it, you're going to get your opportunity. But I think staying patient, that was the thing with me where, especially being in Northern Virginia, where I believe is one of the best baseball districts in the nation, there's so much talent around here that you're going to see other guys committing left and right to big schools. And it's just understanding that your time's going to come and kind of having that tunnel vision to try to block that all out and to keep working. But then I think once you start getting those calls from coaches and those offers, it goes back to that the thing that I heard at that camp where it's you have to feel that relationship aspect where you have to feel loved by the school, because if they don't love you, eventually it might go out and something might happen where you don't like it anymore. Then you have to transfer, which sometimes nothing wrong with that, but you're not happy. And the biggest thing is you have to make sure that you're happy at your school.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, let's finish off. There's just a couple of lighthearted questions to get to know Los a little bit. You have any superstitions on or off the field?
Well, I eat the same breakfast every day at school before games.
Wait a minute. Game day or every day?
every day.
I mean, are you at like a state penitentiary? You could pick anything. What are you eating?
Well, I'm in an apartment, so I can cook, and I love to cook.
Okay. And what do you cook for yourself?
I eat 6 eggs with 4 pieces of sausage, and then I'll have a bagel with cream cheese every day for breakfast.
What type of cream cheese?
Strawberry.
All right. I can't hate on your breakfast. What about dugout snack? Is there anything that you have to have in the dugout on game day?
I have to have trail mix and peanut butter crackers.
And is that before the game?
So it's a lot of peanut butter crackers and trail mix. I'll have 1 peanut butter cracker and 1 peanut butter and jelly sandwich before a game. And then during the game, I like to eat 2 bags of trail mix.
What about parents come into town? They're watching your game. Where do you have your parents take you out to eat?
We are going to Nick's 114 Cafe in, oh my gosh, where is it? It's near Hummelstown in Pennsylvania. That is the spot. Our teammates, every Sunday, we go out there. They have the best wings and the best service, and we are household names there. We walk in, and they know us.
Rock stars. I like it. All right, if you weren't playing baseball, what other sport could you realistically be good at?
I was a big basketball player growing up. I was a shooter. I think I can have a shot at it. I'm on the shorter end, but I think I can be a point guard.
All right, winter sports. If you had a pick, would you water ski or would you snow ski or snowboard? Anything. Would you be on a mountain in the winter or would you be on the water on a lake?
Snowboard on the mountain for sure.
All right, let's go back to basketball. Who's the best basketball player of all time, LeBron James or Michael Jordan?
This is a tough one because my entire life I was always a Michael Jordan GOAT guy. But after LeBron broke the scoring record, I don't know if you can really go up against that. So I think now I'm finally switching teams to the LeBron train.
All right. I can respect that. All right, man. You've been awesome. Look, I hope you crush it again. Penn State, Harrisburg, go get after it. We'll be following you, dude. Good luck this year.
Thank you so much. This was amazing.
Subscribe to this podcast via iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Please tune into our next episode, and thanks for listening.